Welcome to the Supercoach Champions podcast with your hosts, Wilfred Z, Joe Fitz, and other Supercoach champions.
Hello and welcome to the NRL Supercoach Champions podcast. I'm Joe Fitz. It's magic round again, and supercoaches would probably prefer a magic sponge with an injury plague that rivals the one that goes through Queensland Origin camp every year. Except, you know, this one's real. No Wilf tonight. He's called in sick, so I'm joined by 2022 champion Matt Wright. How are you, Matt?
Good, Joe. Good. You can drop the R off my name, mate. It's Matt White. But look, I'm going okay.
I've got a speech impediment. How dare you call attention to that?
My apologies. Look, add that to the list of injuries this week, mate. Your impediment.
Yeah, indeed. So, yeah, Wilf, he's sick as a dog and resting up so he can be fit for Magic Round. Mate, no Magic Round for you this year?
Nah. Logistically, it's a little difficult. Look, I'm not going to say it rivals Magic Round, and this isn't going to get people there, but it's the Burdekin race day this Saturday. So I'll be giving it a red-hot nudge there.
Very, very nice. I'm also, even though I did RSVP to Magic Round, I was really looking forward to it. I'm a late scratching as well. I had a bit of an opportunity. I'm a Liverpool Football Club tragic, and for those that do follow the Premier League would know that Jurgen Klopp, legendary manager, it's his last game this weekend. And a mate of mine who is a similar Liverpool tragic just had a ticket pop up, and he's given me his ticket to go. So I am flying over to the UK to go to Anfield just a couple of days over there. But, unfortunately it falls on Magic Round. So no go for me, mate, but I will be around 60,000 Scousers, all with a bit of a tear in their eye saying farewell.
Yeah, look, there'll be another Magic Round. There won't be another last game, right?
Indeed. All right. So, mate, we haven't been on a pod together for a few weeks now. Hopefully you're going better than me. I was 10:46, which puts me at 53K. How are you travelling?
Mate, I had an 11:48. Look, I will preface, I am going slightly better than you, but definitely nothing to write home about. So 11:48 puts me at just outside the top 10K.
Yeah, very, very nice. So, mate, I'm assuming you did cop at least a few of these injuries on the weekend. I just want to get to our burning question for the week. What the hell are we going to do at halfback? So even though Nico has been named, he's got that injury to put him out. Cleary's gone long term. SJ's out as well. What are we going to do at halfback?
Wait till round 12, till Dylan Brown gets dual, or hope Nico plays before then. Look, honestly, I am... right now, I'm really just praying that Nico does run out in the number 7 jersey. That I don't like to live in hope, but hope is my best strategy right now. I don't know what you're sitting at.
Yeah, there's enough issues all through the team that I've even heard people kind of suggesting maybe trying to hold Cleary in lieu of another great halfback option. But Sam Walker's the obvious one. Him and the Roosters have been on fire, but obviously Sam Walker's getting up in price, and he does have the unfortunate problem with Joey Manu being out this week, which is probably going to curtail some of his point-scoring potential. Look, I don't know what I'm going to do at halfback. The hope is, with Nico being named, that we get, you know, him to run out so we're not copping AEs. But I think, Cleary, you just can't hold him that long, and given that he did take an extra week or two to come back from, you know, the injury that he's just, you know, injured again, I think they are going to play, you know, even more ridiculously careful with it. So, yeah, this could be a 3-month injury. So, you know, you're not holding anyone, particularly at that price, throughout there. So you've got to move on somewhere. Dylan Brown could be an option, but I don't know, it might be Sam Walker season.
Yeah, you're right. I think he's got to go. Right now, he's not losing me money this week, so he's not going this week. Yeah, obviously, I don't know if you've locked in your trades, but I want Jerome Hughes back, but I think he's what I need. But if he's going to be out for another couple of weeks, then I'm in more trouble.
Well, I mean, he's got a calf as well, and we know how notoriously slow they are to come back, even though he was supposed to be back last week, supposed to be back this week. I don't think you can kind of rely on that, particularly when you're replacing a guy that's just been injured as well. You don't want to double that up with an injury risk. So, yeah, look, it'll be a topic throughout the week, and I'd say it'll be a topic all the way up to an hour before the Sharks kick off, in the hope that Nico can kind of take that position. Guys that are doing better than us, though, our $500 champs only bonus leader is Justin, coach of third-party payments. He's well in the top 100, but there are about five blokes within, a bull's roar of each other there chasing that $500 champs only bonus. And look, I'm going terrible. Wilf's going almost as badly, but our SC champs, Tragics, still doing pretty well. It's in the top 20 for leagues with 20 teams as well. So, yes, mate, doing fairly well, sort of. But let's get on to the news. Okay, so we all know that it's Magic Round this week. We're still doing that catch-up on Saturday around 12 p.m. at the Newstead Brewery, as we do every year. It's going to be Wilf. He has promised me that in my absence he's going to drink as much as I do. So, that your chance to get into Wilf, three sheets of the wind at 12 p.m. at the Newstead Brewery. And so we prefaced all the major injuries that happened last week, so many of them with super coach impacts. I'll go through this list. Matt leads off with Turbo. He's not a stranger to a soft tissue injury. He's out for 8 weeks with a hammy. Does raise some interesting questions around Tolo Kula or even Garrick, what the impact is there. We've got Cleary with his long-term injury with the hammy. Brad Schneider's also hurt, so there is going to be some impact for the Panthers there. Nico with his calf is day-to-day. AJ Brimson, which was a popular trade in the last couple of weeks. Kieran Foran's got a hammy. Lots of injuries on the Gold Coast with Philip Sammy and Harvey Smith-Shields as well. John Bateman, which was in a sneaky few teams as well, he's done his pec, which is kind of 8 weeks or even more. Means that Fainu on that edge is looking a little bit more tempting. And from a concussion perspective, Joey Manu out and Max Plath as well, who is in my team, is in the mandatory 11-day stand down. So I don't know, it feels like I had about half a dozen names that I just read out that are in my team. Matt, how's that impacted your team?
Yeah, it's definitely hit me hard as well, right? And you can probably add Roger to that list. I know he didn't play last week, but he was named too. There's a couple of suspensions floating around that people own. It's carnage, really. And I'm struggling to find green dots, let alone good green dots this week.
Yeah, getting a fit 17 with green dots as opposed to a few of those bench cheapies that we've all still got in our team is going to be a bit of a struggle. Potential for those that still have boost, that it might actually be that bad that you're invoking, one of the last boosts for the year this week. From the judicial perspective, Isaiah Papali'i, Sandon Smith and Daniel Saifidi all have one game out. I mentioned those cheapies before, mate. Keen to get your opinion on some of these cheapies as we go into our cheapie review. So we review the cheapies each week. We give them a green light, amber light, or a red light. The most obvious one for me, mate, Blaise Talungi, is killed it at fullback last week. He's 319K, still with a negative break even. Good work rate and involvement. Did you manage to hold him or did you trade him out?
I did. I held him probably not through good management, more good luck. I had other fires to put out and it meant Blaise stayed, although he did look incredible, right? Like, I think if you don't have him, he passed the eye test big time. I was very nervous when he overran that bomb, start of the game. I thought a young kid like him at the back there against the Broncos on a wet night, that could be the end of him. And, he bounced back like an absolute trooper and punched out 93, which is unreal. Have you got him?
Yeah, I held as well, but if I didn't hold, you might have to swallow your pride and look to bring him back in. At 319K, that's as cheap as chips for the kind of output you're going to get for the foreseeable future. And that negative break-even means that you're going to be playing a hell of a lot more if you want to get a sighter for another week. Speaking of week, KO Weeks, he's 273K with a negative 22 break even. We've got a green light on him, but with all those changes to the Raiders, he may lose goal kicking. I mean, it'd be a pretty ambitious suggestion that KO Weeks might be a replacement for Cleary to earn some cash or free up some cash.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think if you could make up a colour between green and amber, he's probably sitting there, right? If it was the most perfect start, 10 rounds to Supercoach, and you burnt bugger all trades and wanted to make some more cash, go your hardest. But I'm sure people can scroll through their 25 guys and adding a bloke playing halfback at the struggling Canberra Raiders is not going to make their team look much better.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And as we go into the Ambers, speaking of struggling teams, South, so we've got Jacob Gagai. His base price, his break-even's negative 79, which usually is just red alert, get on to him. But he's going to be playing right wing as opposed to the left wing where he kept going over for those tries with Alex Johnson back. I mean, he's an avoid for me, mate, just because I'm trying to avoid pretty much all the Rabbitohs at this point.
Yeah, again, similar to Blaze, I think there'd be a few people that managed to hold him from when we first had him earlier in the year, but I wouldn't be bringing him back. You may get, best case scenario, you get sort of 1 week out of him, it seems. They've got Shibasaki there in the 21 or 23-man squad. Tane Milne is moving around positions. They had Cheekham in the centres. I have no idea what they're doing, and I don't think they do either.
Yeah, I'm just fading all the Rabbitohs at all possible. They just look like they're absolutely at sea. But I wouldn't blame, you know, a negative 79 break even if for whatever reason you really felt that you didn't have enough cash generation going there. Atkinson at the Sharks, 291K. He's got a negative 17 break even. But the big problem obviously here is that Trindle, with his legal wrangles, is in a position to be on the extended bench. So if Nico can't go, you assume Trindle comes back and then Atkinson's not going to kick either. I mean, Sharks, obviously, a hugely impressive win and they are scoring points, mate. Is he a kind of guy that you look at in the halves?
He looked good. I enjoyed watching him. Don't know if he's big enough body to be getting into my Supercoach team. Like, he's elusive, but he's not that sort of tackle-busting guy like Dylan Brown is in the halves. They play a similar game. He's just smaller, right? So yeah. he's not for me. I can see why people might be going there, but I can't do it. Trindle does scare me. I hope Trindle never plays another game for the Sharks for Nico's sake, but, yeah, he does scare me.
Yeah, Trindle is both the Nico killer and probably the Atkinson killer in terms of options moving on. So at the Tigers, we've got Solomon Alemalu. I think that's probably butchered that, but he's a base price with a zero break even. With Stafford Toa's injury, he's back there. We've got him as an amber light. Again, the Tigers are struggling a fair bit and he's probably a wait and see. I mean, maybe everyone's made a call on Armstrong at the Knights. He's up to 299K with a zero break even, but, you know, very similar to the Rabbitohs. You know, the Knights going a little bit better, but I'm trying to fade as many Knights as I can. Is did you end up bringing Armstrong in?
I did. I brought him in. I can't remember why. There must have been carnage somewhere. I needed some cash somewhere else. I'm not disappointed in him. 63 or whatever we punched out for me last week was nice. Obviously, there's good job security there, provided that Fletcher Sharp kid doesn't come in. But, look, I think now he's up to 299, so he's not a slam dunk. He might be a bit more of a slowish burn now. He's not going to average too much more than 30, I wouldn't think. But, yeah, look, I'm happy with him.
Yeah, happy with that. And, look, there have been enough kind of decent enough cheapies around that I don't think you really need to stretch too far. For me, certainly, I'd be looking at Talangi above Armstrong for not too dissimilar price, only 20K difference. No red lights, but look, it is the kind of time of year where the cheapies are starting to dry up. So, you know, you should have your team value up to the point where, you know, you're starting to transition out of having to play cheapies in your 17 in, I guess, non-carnage weeks and starting to bring some of those big guns out, particularly the ones that play round 13. But that's enough of our cheapie watch. We'll be back after this message.
Call them what you want. Knee knockers, golden nuggets, thigh slappers, or whatever. But our friends at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for their two boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love too. So join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. by going to manscaped.com and using the code CHAMPIONS for 20% off plus free shipping. You heard it here first, the boys are back in town. Every man knows how scary it can get when going for a close shave below the waist. That's why I trust Manscaped for all my sensitive areas. Introducing the Lawnmower family, including the Lawnmower 3.0 Plus, the 4.0 Pro, and the 5.0 Ultra. Yeah, three ball trimmers. Isn't it awesome? So jump on it, get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CHAMPIONS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with code CHAMPIONS with an S at manscaped.com. For the best your boys have ever looked, trust Manscaped.
These aren't the cheapies you're looking for.
All right, Teamless Tuesday, we've flagged the impact of so many injuries, but we're going to go through team by team, calling out any obvious Supercoach implications there, starting with the Raiders Bulldogs to kick off Magic Round. Jordan Ruppin have returned straight in at fullback, which means Hopper drops out and Kotrick retains his spot on the wing. You know, we mentioned KO Weeks might lose the goal kicking with Rapana there. Again, Raiders tend to be struggling, mate, and I'm trying to get them out of my team rather than bringing anyone in.
Yeah. Look, in all seriousness, I don't think they're going to be kicking that many goals, to be fair, anyway. So whether it's Rapana or Weeks, I don't want either of them.
Yeah, which is weird, you know, talking about the Dogs is a bit of a negative matchup, but they're unchanged from last week. Josh Curran, frustratingly named on the bench this week, and his minutes are a bit of a concern. He's my front rower too. Matt Burton, though, has been killing it with, I think it's a three-round average in the high 80s. You've got to think, though, that if he's not in the 17 for Origin, he's at least 18th man.
Yeah, he's with the way they're dropping like flies, I think he'll actually get a jersey. But if he doesn't, I think he is the perfect 18th man. He's got that big body for Origin. He's been there before. I think he's there. So if you don't have him, I wouldn't be rushing.
Yeah, and obviously for the Dogs, Jacob Kiraz turned up on the weekend. They play the round 13 bye. He's a gun and still is pretty lightly owned, certainly compared to your Lomaxes and Joey Manus and stuff like that. So I think he's a centre wing keeper at low ownership as a good option there. Seagulls, Broncos, we mentioned Tolo Kula's season with Turbo out. He's 470K. He's got a break even of 53, though. So if you wanted to wait a week just to see, you know, how the side goes with him there and no Turbo, you know, you've got a bit of breathing room. Vegas onto the wing. Tommy Talau into the centres. Bolo is back on the wing as well. Olakuatu's returned, pushing Waddell to the bench. So good news for the people that held Burbo because he stays on an edge. For the Broncos, Billy Walters is out and Jock Madden returns from his pec injury. Tyson Smoothie starts and Blake Moser onto the bench. I think the Broncos, you're going to play. I'm more interested by what's going on in the Seagulls.
Yeah, the Seagulls is disappointing. I'm a Garrick owner and was really hoping that the Turbo injury might help there. I think, if anything, now it's actually hurt Garrick owners, right? You don't have Turbo there sucking in defenders and he's still in the centres. Yeah, they also have a really tough next couple of weeks. So if they go to the Bronx, then they've got the Storm and Penrith and a bye there. So if you don't own Garrick, you might have actually escaped one there because I don't think he's probably in the top five centre wings for the next 4 weeks at least.
I think even though Turbo has been pretty hot and cold this year, he's just got a gravitational pull, you know, and when he has the ball in his hands, he just calls so much attention or even running a decoy, which frees up the likes of Garrick to do a bit better. And just without Turbo in the team, I think there's just so much more focus on that back line that I think they will struggle to score points.
Yeah, especially losing DCE shortly for Origin. Luke Brooks is going to go back to having to be the man, and I don't like Manly for the next couple of weeks anyway.
Yeah, ask Tigers fans what it's like with Luke Brooks as the main creative outlet there. Wilf's asked us to look at Mariner as a pod. He's 494K, so, yeah, no one for the Bronx at that kind of price range is jumping out at me. I'm looking at Reece Walsh and, you know, and obviously all the guns that you know for the Broncos, but I don't think there's a lot of value in the outside of the gun range there.
I honestly don't think Dean Mariner would buy Dean Mariner at 480K.
I know, but this is, you know, the Broncos super fan that started with Jesse Arthurs and was banging the table for him. So Wilf put him in the run sheet, so I thought I'd give him the respect of telling him absolutely not as an option. Titans Knights. Titans starting to dig their way out of the early season hole, but they've got a bit of an injury crisis. Chris Randall and Verrill's named in the halves. Kinney is at fullback. AKP's on the wing. Aaron Schott at centre. Aaron Clark's at hooker. I dare say he probably moves to the bench and one of Randall or Verrill's moves into hooker. And that they've got a young, I can't remember his name, but the young bloke on an extended bench that'll probably come in at the halves. So.
Yeah, Tom Weaver.
That's right. Yeah, Tom Weaver. But lots of injury clouds at the Knights as well with Frizzell, Gagai and Best all under injury clouds. Gamble's broken his foot and Cog is in for him. Most importantly, though, Kai Pierce-Paul is on the bench again with Lucas starting on an edge, which, you know, for owners like myself is going to be a bit of a concern. Does that make KPP a sell, you think?
I think it does. I don't think it makes him the most pressing sell, especially for my team and a lot of teams out there. But I think he's definitely not the solid keep that I thought he was 2 weeks ago. I was hoping last week was just a you've played your first 10 games in the NRL, mate. Have a nice quiet one, 60 minutes off the bench, and he's still there. We may actually even get a facade this week if Tyson Frizzell doesn't play due to hamstring or calf, whatever it is, and we get another week out of KPP before he becomes a sell. But it's nerve-wracking, I think. But he is very highly owned, right?
Yeah, it'll affect all of us. I'm just holding out for that round 13 bye, and if I need to move him on after that, then he's done his job. Marju's bottomed out. I mean, I started with him. I held him through the injury, and then I ate about $250,000 as I was forced to sell him on. But he has bottomed out at 515K with a break-even of 7. He's obviously got the pedigree there, but I just think without Ponga, you know, even if Marju does bounce back up a little bit, it's not going to be to what you might expect that he's scored in recent years.
Yeah, I brought him in last week at 501,000, and I was actually very happy watching him play and hoping that now I'll just be able to hold him all the way through to Ponga coming back, right?
Well, my loss is your gain, mate, because he's as close to the never again pile as it's likely to be, because I stuck through with that prick and he absolutely didn't reward me until I was forced to sell, but there you go. Sharks Roosters, both teams on fire. Nico obviously is a late male watch to see what goes on with their Brayley's at hooker, McInnes at lock, and Williams on the bench. We've spoken through the impact of Trindle on the extended bench and what to do with Atkinson as well. But Nicara, you know, has really started to regain his form, as Nico has as well. And you know, he's always an option on the edge when the Sharks are doing well.
Yeah, he's that. He's in the mould of Angus, Hamole, those sort of edge back rowers with definite try-scoring threats and have a decent base as well. So if you believe in the Sharks and you believe Nico is going to play, because I think Nico is crucial, right? If it's Atkinson and Trindle, Nico isn't as likely to cross that line. But yeah, if you believe in Nico playing, I think Nico is not a bad double up there.
Yeah, fair enough. Roosters, plenty of injuries as well. We mentioned Joey Manu out, puts Pauga at centre. Cheese has been named to return at hooker, which pushes Watson back to the bench. About the only thing I've done right this year, mate, is I brought Dom Young in for the second time this year, but I got him in last week for a big score. Is he in your side?
No, he's not. He's not. That was, I don't know if you were, what were you watching the game last week after 10 minutes and thought you were about to make a serious climb?
I was riding him home, mate, jumping up and down the couch. Like I had almost forgotten what it feels to be, you know, to do well at Supercoach. So, yeah, for a brief moment there.
He's so good to watch, right? He's big, he's fast, he's strong. Yeah, he's a perfect Supercoach player. He's just brainless at times.
That's, yeah, exactly right. And look, Manu out is going to impact him. I think he had 3 line break assists for Dom Young's line breaks on the weekend. But, look, I just think the scoring output and the potential's there, and the Roosters are playing well enough without Manu. Interestingly, I know a few people bought Teddy in thinking that he wasn't going to make Origin and he'd have an easier kind of Origin period and play a few more games. But I think with his form, there's a chance that Madge goes with him over Dylan Edwards there, even though I'd be picking Dylan Edwards as well. So Teddy probably on the watch list, on that list of kind of fit fullbacks that can score elite. I wouldn't kind of be considering him as a turbo replacement this week.
No. I think he was just sort of shut out, right? He is the captain for New South Wales and Australian people who just went straight to Edwards. I think no Cleary potentially hurts Edwards ever so slightly. I think Madge will go Teddy, but yeah, you're right. But wait and see. Wait what round 13 this is up.
Yeah, indeed. Rabbitohs Cowboys is the next game. Alex Johnson's back, as I mentioned. Jacob Gagai on the right wing. Thompson at centre. Who knows what's going on at the Rabbits, particularly in the pack with no Cam Murray there. There's a bench hooker and an outside back there. But again, I'm fading all the Rabbitohs. This game is, from a Supercoach perspective, is more about whether the Cowboys are going to bounce back from their terrible run of form. They welcome back Murray Taulagi from his hammy injury. And McKaylee's on the bench. Edwards is out. And Jordan McLean is back after missing last week. But, you know, as Drinky and Val Holmes go, so do the Warriors. So Drinky, we're talking about turbo replacements. 7-13K, break even of 67. Bunnies this week, Tigers next week. I think if you're ever going to be a drink water believer and bring him in this, it's got to be this week, right?
Yeah, I think you've summed that up really well, Joe, because I am definitely not a drink water believer when it comes to Supercoach. I'm a little bit more when it comes to actual NRL, but I've got him in my team currently. I thought Latrell might have been the buy at some point until I looked and he scored 87 with two tries and a try assist. And it's just like, you must be the laziest person ever to put on a pair of football boots. So
yeah, mate, he's a finalist for sure. And I was thinking about it. I don't actually think in all my years of playing Supercoach I've ever owned drink water. So as much as you're not a drinky guy, I haven't been, but I think he might be penciled in this week.
Yeah, it's bottom dollar. Well, it's bottom dollar for the next few weeks anyway, especially with their run. And playing Souths, it's still in Queensland, right, on Suncorp. What is it? Is it the Saturday night game? Yeah, it's a Saturday night game. Drinky's a, he had the pink boots there for a little bit. He's a bit of a show pony type of dude. Let's hope he can show up, right?
Yeah, and he's the kind of guy that lifts for a big crowd, which there certainly will be this week. Warriors Panthers next. And again, you know, if we're going through this team list talking about big injury impacts, both teams, big changes, two of pickies at one. Nickel Klokstad is at six, interestingly. Pushing to Murray Martin to seven and some other changes in and around the pack there. No SJs, obviously, you know, really blunts their attack. No RTS. For the Panthers, Coles in the halves for Cleary. Isaac Tungo's back, which is at least one bit of good news. And Eisenhuth and Laurie onto the bench. What to do with these teams, mate? The Warriors are tanking. DWZ's absolutely gone off the boil after a hot start. Any interest here or what do you do with the Warriors and Panthers that you own?
Look, I still own Roger. Oh, he's going to have to stay for another week. It's interesting. I'm keen to get your thoughts because I am – my front row has been an absolute pain in the you-know-where this year. So Sam Hughes, I think he's topped out. So I've gone Sam Hughes to AFB. Now, I'm not absolutely stoked by it, which sounds silly though, but AFB's 70K up on what he has been. He's been scoring tries. Are you a believer? Because I'm not. Convince me.
Well, I was last year and I rode AFB, you know, to getting, you know, a key ring and a top 1,000 finish, but I've been off him thinking, you know, you don't pick guys after career years, that old Supercoach adage, but, you know, he keeps scoring tries. But, you know, I do think that no Sean Johnson, no RTS. You know, there's got to be a critical kind of mass of these big name players for the Warriors being out that is going to affect AFB at some point. But obviously, Sam Hughes named to start this week. So, you know, it depends on how you feel about, you know, whether you'd actually play him in round 13 as a move out. But yeah, my front rows, I've got big problems there as well. And AFB seems to be the premium option this year. Will he stop scoring tries? I mean, I've been backing him to stop scoring tries every week for the last 2 months and I'm more wrong than I am right. So, yeah, it's probably why I'm in the 50Ks.
That's my thoughts exactly, right? Like, the one thing that is showing me up, his base is, what is he, 60? Bottom floor is 60. I can deal with that.
Yeah, particularly in a down year for the position, it's pretty hard to go past him with the pedigree and the performance. that's been going on. Storm Eels next game. Storm are 1-17 after their shock loss or semi-shock loss to the Sharks, except Xavier Coates is on the wing for Grant Anderson. Still no Jerome Hughes there. For the Eels, Dejan Arcee comes back at 6. Cardi's in the 14, but most importantly, Tully is still in the 1. So, yeah, locked in our 17 this week, right?
Yeah, he is. He's in. He's playing. Back to the Storm. Tyron Wishart is rivaling Jake Granville for wanting to be more than dual position, triple position, quadruple position. Just let him play anywhere. He can be your flex player, right?
Yeah, he's really interesting because this was something that, yeah, there's been a few players through the years. Moses Mbai, a few years ago, there was an argument that he could have been the first quadruple position player to start a year when he was at the Bulldogs. But Wishart's one of those as well. Bellamy plugged him in just about anywhere, and he does a job. The problem is the job he does isn't anywhere near as good as Jerome Hughes. So, yeah, I'm kind of downgrading my Storm guys until they get their full complement of halves back, because I think Hughes has probably been the best of them, even better than Harry Grant and Munster this year.
Yeah, Harry Grant, it's definitely a down year for Harry, isn't it?
It is, and I started with him, and again, I'm in the 50Ks for a reason, but, yeah, I've moved on old Harry. Hopefully I've got enough trades to bring him in for the final run home, but, yeah, I'm fading him throughout the whole Origin period as well. Tigers Dolphins to bring us home. Again, more injuries for the Tigers, so Seyfarth and 12 start for them. Brent Naden's in at centre. I mentioned Ale Marlow on the wing earlier, and Sione Fanu and Kapoa are on the bench. For the Dolphins, though, unfortunately Fuller, who's done a hell of a job for my team, he's been named as 18th man with Hammer coming back from injury, but I think Fuller is 100% a hold because a fit Hammer plays Origin, which means that Fuller's going to be one of those invaluable numbers for round 13 at least in a couple of weeks. And unfortunately, Max Prath with that mandatory concussion stand down means he's out, and Kenny Bromwich is at lock. Do you have Plath and Fuller, mate, and what's your cover for them?
Well, one good thing, I don't need to cover for them this week. One poor thing, I haven't owned either of them, and they've both been awesome, right? I was talking to someone the other day, and it pains me to admit it, but for my last 18 months of Supercoach have probably been ruined by my constant fading of the Dolphins, and they have just got me, they have made me look stupid every time. So kudos to them.
I'm pretty much the same. I had Plath to start. He got suspended. I traded him out. And, you know, as you always want to do with cash cows is you want to bring him in a few weeks after you sell them for 150K more than you sold them for. That's what I did with Plath. Fuller's done well for me. But, you know, I finally bit the bullet on Jermaine Asako, bringing him in for the first time in a few years. He's been on my never again list for years since he was at the Broncos. And then he proceeds to leave something unspeakable on the bed, you know, with his worst score for the year. So, yeah, but the Dolphins, plenty of points in them. They're a much better side with Hammer in them as well. So I'm expecting him to run all over the Tigers in front of a home crowd. So that's it for the teams. Let's get on to the group comp update. Coming first is Quinton, coach of the Dead Hand Gang, who is fourth overall. He's absolutely killing it there. And the SC ring we announced earlier in the year goes to Josh. And there's a $500 cash overall prize, but a $1,000 prize if you're a Patreon subscriber, if you're a champ. And second prize is an SC Pro sub for next year. So, you know, again, shout out to the guys at Rugby League Fantasy Pro who've come on board to offer some prizes for the group comp. If you're not, haven't seen what that does, it's a cheat code if you're playing head-to-head and even all overall players like me. Good to know what players in your leagues around you are doing, you know, if you're trying to keep an eye on, you know, what their moves are as well. So thanks to Adrian and the team at Rugby League Fantasy Pro for their generosity. All right, mate. So Magic Round, you're at the races. I'm assuming you're going to sneak a little bit of footy time in. Any big tips for the week? I guess not pony related, maybe NRL related.
Look, I'm all ears for anyone who's got big tips pony related. But I think it's an interesting set of matchups this week. There's no real standout sort of one-sided affairs. I think there should be some really good games to watch. Hopefully it's a dry day at dry weekend at Suncorp. The field stands up and we see some high scoring but close games.
Yeah, no, it's again, if you're listening, you haven't been to Magic Round, it's basically schoolies for dads. It's an absolutely cracking week, and I'm going to miss not being there. And I guess we'll head out on the episode with a bit of a recap of where Wilf and my chumps bet is. Like two hobos fighting over a sandwich, Wilf's on Jesse Arthur's average for the year, and I'm on Jamin Salmon. At the moment, somehow Arthur's 41.3 points per game is beating Salmon on 37.3. So, but if Salmon scores 77 this week, he will nudge ahead in the chumps bet. And Wilf and I have promised each other that something horrific will befall the loser for that. So stay tuned to see what the punishment will be. All right, Matt, thanks for jumping on, mate. I'm sure you've got a big weekend planned. I'm going to be over in the UK furiously refreshing the SC app to see what everyone on Magic Round's doing and checking in with the news. But otherwise, yeah, look forward to the week and we'll see you all next week.
Safe travels, mate.